This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Running Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Lido, here's Hightaylor with Sportsline.
It is the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a show that we have put on the WRMJ airwaves since 1979, wrapping up our 45th school year of Sportsline today. If you listened last week, you know that that was our penultimate episode of the 2024-25 school year, which of course means that today marks the final sports line of the 2024-25 school year. This is Ty Taylor. Thanks so much for tuning into Sportsline on a Saturday morning on WRMJ for the final time this school year. We are inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, as we put the wraps on a fun year of high school sports coverage in 2024-25. Well, our final guest of the year on Sportsline will be kind of a perfect segue into what the next show will look like in a few months in August when we start to preview the 2025 high school football season. We'll be joined for a full-length conversation today by new Sherrard High School football coach Dan McGuire, who was named head coach for the Tigers back on Thursday of this week. Now, not officially hired yet. That will take place at the next Sherrard School District Board of Education meeting, which is next month on June 25th. But Coach McGuire, a long history of coaching football both in the state and locally. He spent 10 years as the head coach of the Moline Maroons from 1991 to 2000, where he led Moline to a 66-32 record over those 10 seasons, including 8 playoff appearances during those 10 years in Class 6A, which at the time was the highest class in Illinois back in the 6-class system. The interesting thing about the hire, really, though, and we'll get into this when we talk with him, is that last year that he was the head coach at Moline, 2000 was the last year that he's coached high school football, even as an assistant. So it's been 25 years since he's coached high school football, as he'll take over the Sherrard program in 2025. Coming out of retirement, he stopped coaching basically because he became an administrator, was the principal at Moline High School for a number of years. Before he got into the administrative side of things, Coach McGuire spent time as an assistant coach at Fulton, where his career started, an assistant for Altoff Catholic down in Belleville, and then also was an assistant at Moline, Alleman, and Rock Island, too, during his career. So really an interesting story, and it'll be kind of fun to follow how he is able to transition back into coaching as it's been so long. So there's a lot to get to when we talk with him. We'll specifically ask just kind of about what made Sherrard attractive for him to say, hey, this is how I want to get back into coaching. And also we'll talk to him about how long he wants to do it at Sherrard as well, and just kind of what that process looks like. One other note about him taking over at Sherrard. Now, he does have some background in the Sherrard district as this past school year in the fall, from September to November of 2024, he was in the Sherrard High School building each day, serving as a substitute assistant principal. So there is some background with the kids that he's got to know a little bit through that, and we'll talk about that with Coach McGuire coming up, as new Sherrard football coach Dan McGuire will join us for a pretty long conversation on Sportsline. And I know that maybe the biggest challenge he'll have is just getting kids to come out and play, where, you know, the past, and this isn't a challenge that's unique to the Sherrard football program, it's kind of a statewide, nationwide issue in terms of, you know, lower participation numbers in high school football specifically. But last year was tough for Sherrard. They dealt with so many injuries that it basically pushed them to having to wipe out their entire JV schedule. And that just is really hard to get momentum going when, you know, those young kids aren't able to get in game action. So I think, you know, step one for them will be trying to get numbers up a little bit in that Sherrard football program. So we'll speak to him about that, kind of the plans for him to try to build some participation numbers back up in the program. So looking forward to speaking with new Sherrard football coach Dan McGuire here coming up a bit later on in the program on Sportsline today. Now, also today, coming up later in the show, to commemorate our final episode of the 2024-25 Sportsline year, we're going to take a look back at some of the best games we were lucky enough to cover and broadcast on the air this year on WRMJ. We broadcast 134 high school sporting events in the 2024-25 school year. I've put together a top five list of my favorite games we covered this year. Maybe a better way to put it is what I think were the best games we covered this year. So we'll have some highlights, and we'll kind of re-look at some of those broadcasts a bit later on in the show after we talk with Coach McGuire. Now, going on today, the IHSA Boys State Track and Field Meet wraps up in Charleston. Mercer County has four events competing in the Class 1A finals today. Mercer County's 4x100 and 4x200 meter relay teams, which the 4x100 meter relay team is made up of John Baldwin, Jacob Kenny, Tannen Whitehall, and Dalen Blazer. The 4x200 meter relay team is those same four, but you just swap in Xander Houston for Jacob Kenny on the second leg, I believe. And both put together a pretty good showing on Thursday in the prelims, finishing with the fourth best time in the preliminary round. So they are running in the finals today. Dalen Blazer for Mercer County also competing in the long jump finals today. And then for the Golden Eagles, Jack McKnight running in the 3200 in Class 2A today. Sherrard has Alex Belha running in the 3200 in the 2A finals. So good luck to all of those athletes competing down in Charleston, wrapping up the year today. Now, earlier in the week, we completed our play-by-play coverage with action in Chillicothe in both the Class 2A softball and baseball sectionals. Unfortunately, Sherrard came up short by one run in both the softball sectional semifinal on Tuesday and in the baseball sectional semifinal in Wednesday. Before we get into the specifics and kind of recapping those games and the seasons for the two programs as well, just that was my first time ever going to Chillicothe itself and to the Illinois Valley Central High School campus. And what a beautiful school facilities. I mean, everything there, it's really unique. I kept talking to some of the administrators down there the 2 days I was there, and just the thing to me that's crazy is, if you've never been there, and this is brand new over the past couple of years, their athletic facilities, they have an artificial turf softball field, an artificial turf baseball field, an artificial turf football field, and a separate artificial turf soccer field. And it's really rare you go somewhere, especially schools of, you know, the 2A size, where I think IVC has a little over 500 kids in the high school for enrollment, but you don't see schools that size have a separate football and soccer facility very often, and you definitely don't see separate turf facilities very often at schools that size as well. So it just was a really impressive campus, I thought, at IVC High School down in Chillicothe. But speaking about the two games, Sherrard and softball lost 3-2 on Tuesday to St. Bede. And really, it was just basically the same story as the baseball game, which we'll get into in a moment. But Sherrard, they had traffic on, especially in the late innings, just weren't able really to get the big hit on Tuesday, losing by a score of 3-2. It was 1-1. Sherrard scored first in the bottom of the first inning, then gave up a solo home run in the top of the second. St. Bede would hit a two-run home run with two outs in the top of the fifth to go ahead 3-1. Sherrard stranded the bases loaded in the bottom of the fifth inning down 3-1. The Tigers got a run back in the bottom of the sixth to make it 3-2, but then left a runner at second to end the inning. And Sherrard ended the game with a runner at third base in the bottom of the seventh inning, falling by a run 3-2. It was, you know, obviously a successful year for their Sherrard softball program with a regional championship win and also, you know, kind of breaking that curse or streak or whatever you want to call it against Rock Ridge, beating them in the regional championship 2-1 last week in a great game that avenged two regular season losses and snapped 24 straight losses in the program to Rock Ridge in softball. So really a fun group to follow this year for sure, and a fun group of kids and parents and families to get to know, as it always is doing this job. On the baseball side of things, really same story on Wednesday with Sherrard's 2-1 loss to Eureka in Chillicothe. Tigers allowed a run in the top of the first inning after a two-out triple. The next pitch was a wild pitch, which allowed the run to score. Sherrard answered with a run in the bottom of the first inning on a ground rule double by Garrett Woodward, which bounced over the wall in center field. If it would not have bounced over the wall, two runs would have scored on the play, as Aiden Taranas was basically already around third base as the ball was bouncing over the wall from first base. So he had to go back to third base. He then was stranded there with two outs in the inning. And obviously that's a big play when the final score ends up being 2-1. Eureka's second run, which became the game-winning run, was scored in the fourth inning on a two-out pass ball that put them up 2-1. They were able to hold on. And Sherrard offensively, similar story to what happened in the softball game where they had traffic on the bases, it felt like all day long. Just couldn't really deliver the big hit with a runner in scoring position. I think Sherrard ended up stranding six runners in scoring position. A runner was stranded at third base in the sixth, and a runner was stranded at second base in the seventh inning after a leadoff single by the eight hitter Blake Searens. One thing to note statistically for Sherrard is that senior starting pitcher Aiden Taranas, who just had a terrific career but really just a stellar senior year, struck out 13 batters in the game on Wednesday in the 2-1 loss to Eureka. He broke the single season strikeout record for Sherrard. The previous record was 121 set by Cody Adams in 2005, and Adams eventually became a second round MLB draft pick. Aiden finishes with 131 this season to break that record by 10. As we've mentioned a few times throughout the school year on the show and on our play-by-play broadcast today, both or this season too, both during the basketball season and the baseball season, Aiden will be a Division I baseball player. He is going to be playing at the University of Illinois Chicago next year, beginning, I guess, in the fall, and then, of course, the season will get going into the spring next year up in the city of Chicago. And, you know, I mentioned a moment ago talking about the Sherrard softball program, you know, how fun it was to get to cover them and get to know some of the kids and their families and everything. Same thing with the Sherrard baseball program, especially over the past couple of weeks, getting to win another regional championship in a great game, a walk-off win against Rock Ridge. But, you know, with that, I think the most fun part of this job, for me at least, is, like I said, is getting to meet some people that I wouldn't have met otherwise. And it was really cool last week, you know, and in this time of the year especially, something that's fun for me is I'm lucky enough to get invited to, you know, a lot of kids of their graduation parties that I get to cover. And last week, Claire Fowler of Mercer County got to go to hers. It was great, super cool. And then also last Saturday, Aiden Taranas, who we were just talking about, Brody Bender and Rylan Carton and James Blackwell at Sherrard had a joint party at Healy Hollow and Taylor Ridge, which is kind of funny. They had that in the Rock Ridge School District, I thought. But super fun night going to that and getting to see those guys and just so many people that, like, I had run into a bunch throughout the school year that not really seeing as much now, obviously, with everything winding down. So that was fun. And I want to give a special shout-out to Aiden. So earlier in the school year, I talked to him during Sherrard had a signing day, and I said, man, he had a UIC shirt on. I said, man, I love those colors, the blue and the red that UIC has. I'm like, you need to get me one of those shirts, man. And he's like, don't worry, I will. So I show up to his grad party, and Rylan and James and Brody's too. And he's like, hey, man, I got something for you. And he hands me this bag, and in it is a UIC Flames t-shirt, which I thought was so cool and very appreciated from him and his family. So I will wear those UIC Flames colors proudly as Aiden begins his career there next school year. And also, I'm looking forward to today. Got a few more grad parties to go to, some great kids that we've been able to cover, and some great athletes too. I know over in the Rock Ridge District today, Jude Finch, Landon Wheatley, and Landon Buller having their party. And then Sherrard graduate Nadia Anderson, who was a great, you know, standout wrestler and cross-country runner and softball player, of course, too, having her party. I can't wait to go to both of those parties today and get to see some good friends as we wrap up the school year. All right, got a lot more to get to on our final sports line of the 2024-25 school year today. Coming up a bit later, we'll take a look back at what I have deemed our top five broadcasts. Maybe not top five broadcasts, but more of the top five games that we were able to cover this year with some highlights and just kind of a retrospective look at which we did have some really, really fun, high-level, high-drama games with a lot on the line. So we'll do that a little bit later in the program. First, though, we're going to take a break and come back and hear from new Sherrard football coach Dan McGuire as he officially will take over the program as he was named new Sherrard football coach on Thursday. Again, he'll officially be hired at the school district's next Board of Education meeting on June 25th. So we'll take a break on Sportsline, come back in here for new Sherrard football coach Dan McGuire next. It's Sportsline on a Saturday morning from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Toledo. More coming up next.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29 by the buy, I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Now at 6140 Run, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka, lightweight, responsive, made to move. What max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 6140 Run. Now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
Back on Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Ty Taylor speaking with new Sherrard Tiger football coach Dan McGuire, named head coach earlier this week. He'll officially be hired at the June board meeting in the Sherrard School District. So I guess not quite official yet, Coach Dan McGuire, but congratulations on being named Sherrard football coach. Just the reaction for you to taking over the Tigers program here in the fall of 2025.
Well, I'm excited. Like you mentioned, it's all based on board approval, because I know they do the official hiring, and I look forward to that, but certainly look forward to getting back out on the gridiron.
Well, the interesting thing I think about you taking this job is that we were talking with you off the air. The last year that you coached high school football was your final year as the head coach at Moline in 2000. So 25 years ago, as you get ready to take over in the fall of 2025. So what was the process like for you in terms of, one, being interested in the Sherrard job here in 2025, and then two, saying, okay, now is the time for me to come out of retirement to take this thing over?
Well, I guess first and foremost, I've always had great respect for the Sherrard community. And, you know, historically, back in the days when I was coaching and so on, Sherrard had an outstanding football program. And I always admired that with the coaches. You know, one of the coaches that I coached with years ago was Mike Tracy, and I think he had spent a year out there with some coaches. He always spoke highly of the Sherrard program as well. The other thing that gave me a little added insight was serving as an administrator at the high school this past year, being able to witness, you know, the outstanding kids that they have in the school. You know, they're very respectful and positive, and I appreciated that, as well as understanding the staff is caring and dedicated, and knowing that the Sherrard Boosters Club and community are very supportive of their kids and the school as well. So just having that insight certainly helped. As far as coming back out of retirement, I guess the biggest thing, as you mentioned, 25 years. I coached football for 25 years and always thought I was going to retire as a teacher and a football coach. I worked hard at that. Went to many clinics, spoke at many clinics, did everything I could to learn the game. And I always appreciated the opportunities to work with our kids. It's a little different between the classroom and then being out on the field with kids. You're able to interact differently and work with kids and help kids in a different way. And I've always missed that. But I was in it for 25 years. And as I mentioned, I always thought I would finish my career as a teacher and coach. But, you know, you think you have life figured out. You think you have a plan. You know, I learned there's a higher being that maybe your plan isn't what's in store for you. I came down with kidney cancer. I had four young kids with my wife, and you know, it made me reflect on how much time I was spending doing the coaching, because if I do it, you know, I'm committed to it and giving it everything I had. But it took away from time that I spent with my kids. The youngest was 6 months old at that time. The other three were in early elementary school. And, you know, I just realized that I needed to spend more time with my family. So I stepped aside from coaching to do that. Funny, right after I was going to give up the coaching, I was asked to become an administrator. So I became an administrator and sort of jumped back in the fire in a different way. Ending my career as the principal of Moline High School. So a dumb football coach changes careers and becomes a building principal and stuff like that. But in that regard, I still was able to work with kids as well as staff, and still was, you know, involved with football, the program. Coached the feeder program for a number of years. My son, who was a player, ended up coaching as a student assistant, then as an offensive grad assistant, and an intern at Michigan State. So for 9 years, I averaged 10 games a season going to their games and taking in the football, as well as being able to see my son. So you know, I've never really left the game. It was just in a different perspective, I guess. And I've always had that longing to be able to still be around it. And this is a great opportunity for me to do that.
Well, you speak about never really leaving the game. And again, we're talking today with new Sherrard football coach Dan McGuire. And I feel like football is one of those sports that's really ever evolving. So obviously, since, you know, you stepped away from, you know, coaching the game in 2000 to now 2025, the game, especially at the high school level, looks a lot different. So, I mean, just for you, the experience you take away from the years in the early 90s into the 2000s now, as you try to, you know, get something going in 2025. So just what do you take away from that experience, even though, you know, like we've talked about, it was 25 years ago and the game probably looks quite a bit different now than it did then. What do you take away from that, trying to apply it here to the Sherrard job?
I guess first, most important thing is talking about our kids and our student athletes and all that. I've never met, be it as a coach or as a teacher, as an administrator, a young person that really didn't care or have concern about their future. Everyone I've ever met and dealt with, they want to have success. They want to do good things. Some of them it's harder. Some of them don't see it clearly. Some of them need assistance, guidance, and the struggles that they face. And I don't think that's changed from any of the schools I've been at or any of the programs I've been with. Kids want to have success when they need somebody there to try to help guide them and support them no matter what they're going through. So that's the first thing, is working with the kids, respecting them, challenging them, having those high expectations. I think kids truly down deep want that, to be pushed and challenged, but as well as having the support, knowing that you're for them and going to support them. The second thing, as far as the game itself, certainly it's changed in many ways, but I think the things that haven't changed are the fundamentals of football. And that's something that through my time, and again, I coached with under three Hall of Fame coaches during my career. Something they stressed, and certainly something I stressed as I coached over those years, the fundamentals are the basis of the game. And you can run the ball, you can throw the ball, you can do all kinds of different things, but it all comes down basically to the fundamentals. So we'll emphasize that. Back in the day, we ran first and threw second, and I know that's pretty much reversed by many programs today, and I'm certainly open to that. The biggest thing I think over the course of my years coaching is being able to assess the talent that you have coming in and adjusting your program and offense and defense based upon the talent that you have, and we'll do that this year. I think we have good kids. I think we have kids that care, and we're going to work hard to try to do things the right way. And you know, that's just not on the field, but it's all.
Well, kind of going off of that, how familiar are you with the Sherrard, you know, personnel in the football program? And then two, I mean, with that personnel stylistically, I know it's really early on, of course, but do you know how you maybe want things to look for you offensively and defensively as you take over the program this fall?
At this moment, no. I know some of the kids just, you know, from the school year and having been in the building and cafeteria, lunchtime, and different things like that. I've been able to get some film here yesterday, so I was up late last night watching film from the past seasons, and I think there's some talent there. Certainly one thing I think many programs are dealing with today are the numbers are not where you would like them to be. Less kids have been involved, and that has an impact on things that you're able to do. So one emphasis will be trying to get more kids interested and hopefully involved in the program. That's where I'm thinking offensively and defensively. It'll be, you know, I'll, I'll be there Tuesday and throughout the summer making some assessments and trying to figure out, you know, what fits us best with the kids that we have.
Well, you brought up something there that I wanted to touch on. You mentioned the numbers crunch, and that's not a unique, you know, issue or challenge at Sherrard. It's kind of the landscape at most high school football programs nowadays. The numbers just aren't what they have been or were in the past. So you talked about there, one of the biggest emphases you're going to look at is trying to get more kids involved. And it feels like, especially in recent history at Sherrard, there have been a lot of really, you know, talented athletes that just haven't played football. So I know this is a question that is answered, you know, it's much easier said than done, but just some strategies you hope to maybe be able to put out there to try to get more numbers at Sherrard, because I know last year one of the issues too is the program had to basically wipe out its entire junior varsity schedule. So just for you, how do you try to get more kids to get involved in the football program at Sherrard?
Well, first, I think, is making myself accessible to people, approachable, and willing to give people, you know, the opportunity to give me their interest and their concerns about what their concerns are, what they like or don't like, and making those assessments. But, you know, I think, you know, how you present your program, and it's not something that you can just wave a magic wand to, but trying to make your program attractive to where people want to be part of it. You know, that you take pride in it. And I know sometimes that's based on wins and losses, on the surface, but really down deep is, you know, are the kids gaining things from it? Do they appreciate being part of that program regardless of the wins and losses? And to where other kids want to become part of that group and involved. And a big part of that are the kids themselves, you know, because they have friends that walk the halls that aren't playing and so on, to where they feel good about the program, what's happening, and that they encourage their peers to join in and be part of it. It's not easy, but again, it's just being approachable, accessible, trying to make it as fun as you can. Football's not an easy sport, and it's difficult, it's challenging, but that's one of the things that's great about it too, is individually you're challenged, and how do you respond to those challenges when things aren't going good for you. And so there's things to be learned and gained from it to make us all better people. I think it's trying the program the right way on and off the field, the way we carry ourselves, our expectations, so that other individuals want to become part of it.
More to get to with new Sherrard football coach Dan McGuire. We'll take a break and come back and continue our conversation next at Sportsline from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo on WRMJ.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
You finally have your dream home. Now you need the right insurance to protect it, because when it comes time to file a claim, you don't want any surprises. Talk to a Country Financial representative to find out if you have the right protection. They can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Now at 6140RUN, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka. Lightweight, responsive, made to move. What max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 6140RUN. Now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
Welcome back to Sportsline this morning on WRMJ, continuing our conversation with new Sherrard football coach Dan McGuire. And Coach McGuire, earlier you were speaking about your time as a substitute assistant principal at Sherrard High School this past fall from September through November of 2024. And I think one of the challenges you'll have in taking this job over is not being in the building every day like, you know, a traditional coach is, that's also a teacher in the school district. So just for you, those 2 months you were able to spend in the building at Sherrard High School in the, you know, basically substitute assistant principal role, how big is that for you in terms of trying to begin to build relationships with these kids as you get ready to basically take over the football program?
Well, I think it's important for me to be visible and available through the summer, being at the you know, the summer weightlifting and events that are going on. I think that you know, we've got a good core of leaders that we need to develop and help them exercise that. You know, as a building principal, my first priority when hiring coaches was to try to find somebody that was on staff as a teacher or otherwise, kids daily, interact with daily. I'm not in a role, as you mentioned, and it's going to be a challenge, but that's one of the challenges we have to deal with. When I was the head coach at Moline for those 10 years, I was not in the high school proper. I was in another building. And so I didn't have that type of interaction as well with the kids. But, you know, we worked hard to get to know the kids and work hard with the kids and get to know them through the summer programs and the weightlifting and things like that. So much so that of the 10 years I was a head coach, you know, they made the playoffs 8 of the 10 years, and they all 10 of those years were winning seasons and so on. So something was working, even though I wasn't able to be in direct contact with them as a teacher or staff member in the building. So I know the difficulties that are going to come from that, and just trying to make myself accessible and being visible in any other ways that I can be is important.
You mentioned there your time, you know, at Moline as the head coach from 1991 to 2000, a 66-32 record, like you alluded to, 8 playoff appearances in those 10 seasons. But as you, you know, look to take over in 2025, 25 years post the last time that you coached high school football, what do you think maybe some of the biggest things you have to adjust to are maybe both in the game, you know, dealing with kids and just being a coach in 2025? What are some things you think maybe you'll have to adjust to in that respect?
Well, first, I think, you know, my knees, they're not quite as good as they used to be. So the time out on the field and stuff like that, you know, hopefully my body's up to taking that, because you do work hard and you spend a lot of time with that. But I think that the game has changed, as I mentioned. I don't think kids, I know a lot of people say kids have changed this and that, but I truly believe down deep kids haven't changed, that they still want that guidance and support. So I'm going to provide that. The fundamentals we're going to continue to hammer, which haven't changed. I think I'm going to be watching a lot of film on things that we've done over the years against different opponents and watching our opponents and that. Now, you know, when I was coaching at Moline, we were a 6A school, and back then there were the largest class was 6A. So we were playing East St. Louis, and we were playing Pekin and a lot of the Chicago suburban teams that did throw the ball quite a bit. So I'm familiar with the passing game, you know, and we ourselves ran spread and some trips and different things. So it's not something that's totally foreign to me. I've worked with it. It's just what percentage of the game is dedicated to that aspect. So I think, you know, I've never stopped learning. So I'm going to continue to learn the game and things that we can do better, learning what our kids are capable of doing, and go from there.
Well, and I feel another unique challenge for you is just, you know, how late in the game this has all come together in terms of being named the coach, you know, basically in the final week of May, officially going to be hired at the board meeting next month in late June. So, I mean, for you trying to implement things and just get things going and installed in such a short turnaround, what do the next, you know, couple of months look like before you get to August for you?
Well, I think it's, I guess, first getting a coaching staff together. I think that you're only as good as the people you surround yourself with. So trying to find people that are going to be committed and dedicated to what we're trying to do and having that central focus. The same thing there with the kids is, you know, trying to make sure that we've got the commitment and the dedication to doing the things that we need. There's a lot of differences with the kids that you have. And I think the reason we've had success in the past is trying to get everybody focused on the same goals, regardless of our differences. And that'll be important, and not as much as the X's and O's, even though that's going to be a big part of it, is learning what we're capable of doing and developing our offense and defense based on that. But trying to get everybody focused, dedicated as a team, as a unit, on whatever it is that we establish as our goal. Once we've identified what we want to do and what we want to accomplish. Now I know, you know, I'm coming in late, which is an added, I guess, challenge. But I think we can get things going. I know that, you know, you mentioned I've been out for a period of time and I'm older. I know that the district and the school was put in a tough spot with the position and open late like this. My goal at this point is trying to help bring the program back, be it as you consider a bridge to, you know, the future of the program, another coach that would at some point take over. And just trying to build that foundation so that we are able to have success.
Well, something I did want to ask you about is just the length of time that you want to spend as the head coach at Sherrard as you know, enter taking over the program. We've talked at length in this conversation about your previous career and how long that spanned. You've been retired as a teacher and a coach and an administrator. So coming out of retirement to take over the Sherrard football program, have you thought much about how long you want to spend as the head coach at Sherrard?
It's no different, I guess, when I was a coach or a teacher or principal in the past. You know, I'm a person that takes it day by day, year by year. So right now my focus is on today and this season, and that's how I'm going to take it. You know, if the district were to be able to find somebody that could step in next year and do a great job, you know, and they feel confident with it, you know, I'm totally supportive of that. My task right now is to try to righten the ship and get us going in the right direction and help with the numbers and start teaching some of the basics and fundamentals and get ourselves going. Now, if it doesn't come to that point where we've got somebody that's capable and on staff to step up, then, you know, I'm going to continue doing what they need, because I'm a firm believer in our youth and the game of football, and I want the best for our Tigers.
Well, you talked about the process of putting together a coaching staff earlier, and I just am curious too with that and kind of where you are in that process. I know it's early on, as we talked about, but for you, like trying to keep some stability from, you know, the previous staff, is that important to have a few maybe assistants that have previously worked with these kids for you? Is that something you're looking at as important?
Yeah, I think, you know, certainly having that knowledge, and like you mentioned, late in the game and stuff like that, knowing the kids and all that, I think that's important if you can have that continuity. I'm in the process of talking to some of the coaches that have been part of the program, and hopefully we're able to keep some of those individuals on, as well as there, you know, we may have a need for another coach or two or however many to step in and help us out. But yeah, I think continuity is important with the program.
And for you, as we've talked about, it sounds like you've been able to continue following, you know, the local high school football scene, even without, you know, coaching. So, I mean, how familiar are you with the area and specifically the Three Rivers Athletic Conference, the teams you'll be playing on Sherrard's schedule as you, you know, start to take over the program here in the fall?
I know it's a competitive conference. I know that, you know, there's a lot of good teams there. It's going to be a challenge for us. You know, years ago, I knew some of the coaches within that coaching fraternity. They've all moved on, and there's new faces there. I'm one that, you know, have always respected our opponents because those coaches and kids from those programs are working equally hard and committing and dedicating themselves to something that I think is positive and good. So, you know, I have that certainly with me, but I don't know a whole lot about the coaches other than what I, you know, programs other than what I'm able at this point to gather on past game film. But I'm sure we'll be in conversation and I'll get to know some of these new faces.
And then just last thing before I let you go, Coach, you talked earlier about how planning to meet with the kids officially for the first time as the coach on Tuesday of this coming week. So, I mean, just what are you hoping to get out of that kind of first face-to-face meeting for the kids, especially on their end of things, as they, you know, get to meet the new head coach for the first time?
Well, I think it's most important for me to be able to make my self known to them, who I am, what the expectations are going to be from expectations of them as well as myself, and start working on that focus and start trying to bring the team together on unifying on what our purpose is, and just basically, I guess, those expectations and trying to develop a sense of purpose and focus.
New Sherrard football coach Dan McGuire joining us on Sportsline this morning on WRMJ, officially named the head coach earlier in the week. He'll be hired next month at the June Board of Education meeting in the Sherrard District. Coach McGuire, appreciate the time and look forward to working with you during your time leading the Tigers football program.
Well, Ty, I thank you for your coverage and support of high school athletics. Again, I appreciate hopefully the board providing me this opportunity, and go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Amen. All right, we're back with more on WRMJ after this.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Building relationships, supporting the community and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham. Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Now at 6140 Run, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka. Lightweight, responsive, made to move. What max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 6140 Run. Now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
Welcome back to Sportsline inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo on WRMJ, our final Sportsline of the 2024-25 school year today. And this segment we have here was really fun to put together and go back and kind of look through the year that was WRMJ's sports coverage in 2024-25. Now, I've put together a list of my top five favorite games that we covered this school year. Now, we broadcast, as we mentioned earlier in the show, 134 local high school sports games this year. So a top five list was very challenging to put together. And there are some really great games that we were fortunate enough to cover this season that were left off the list. But this is just a personal ranking for me. There's going to be a definite theme because we were really lucky that two of the schools that we cover played a bunch of just classic games across a lot of different sports throughout the school year. So we'll get into this now. Again, this was so much fun to look back and kind of thumb through the games that we had on the air this year. So our number five, or I should say my number five game this year that we covered was back from Friday, December the 6th of 2024. It was the conference opener in boys basketball in the Track West, a really highly anticipated game between Rockridge and Sherrard. This one emanated from Harry Hunt Gymnasium at Sherrard High School. The Tigers entered at 4-1 on the young season, while Rockridge came in at 2-2. It had been a long time since Sherrard had beat Rockridge in boys basketball entering this matchup. It had been 13 straight wins in the series for the Rockets. The final score in this game from, again, December 6th of 2024, Sherrard wins by 3 points, 38-35. The Tigers never trailed in the game, and really, I thought the biggest basket came in the fourth quarter. Sherrard senior Brody Bender scored 2 points in the game, but it was a big bucket with the Tigers' lead trimmed to two to push the lead back to four midway through the fourth quarter.
Veranda circles off the catch, dribbles to the elbow. Now Kelly left-handed, dribble poked away from behind. Ball out of bounds. No, he saves it to Bender. Bender goes up, and he banks it in. Brody Bender, a huge basket in the fourth quarter, puts the Tigers back up by four.
And again, Sherrard would win that game 38-35 on December 6th to begin the Tigers' march to a conference championship in the Track West.
38-35 into Wheatley. Three-quarter court shot is no good. Sherrard wins for the first time in 2,486 days. Sherrard beats Rockridge in boys basketball. The Tigers students rush onto the floor.
You know, I think those kids that followed the Sherrard boys basketball program throughout the year, like, broke an IHSA record for most time storming the court in a season, as it was a fun year for the Tigers. We're gonna have, I think, a couple more boys basketball games from the special Sherrard Tigers season coming up on this list. To number four on our list, another Sherrard Rockridge matchup, this one in baseball from just last week, a week ago from today, on May the 24th of 2025, the Rockets and the Tigers got together for a regional championship in baseball at Sunny Lane Field in Monmouth. A fun back-and-forth game saw Sherrard trailing 4-3 in the middle innings before a nine-hitter Brylan Bender delivered a two-out RBI infield single to knot the game up at four.
2-2, tying run 90 feet away. Pitch swung on, chopped to the left side. Evans charges, bare hands, throws to first, and safe as it's up the line. And a two-out infield single for Brylan Bender ties the game. Leadoff walk, wild pitch, pass ball, infield single. And the Tigers manufacture the game-tying run. We're even at four in the bottom of the sixth.
After Rockridge loaded the bases in the top of the seventh inning with nobody out, starting pitcher Brady Peterson for Sherrard able to work around that and strand the bases loaded and keep the game tied at four, going to the bottom of the seventh, where he was able to walk off the Rockets with a sacrifice fly to center field to give the Tigers their third regional title in 4 years in baseball.
Payoff pitch on its way. Swung on, hit into center field. It's over the head of Steele, running, chasing. He will make the catch. Mattson tags. He comes to the plate. Relay not in time. And this weekend belongs to the Sherrard Tigers. The Tigers win it in seven innings. A walk-off sacrifice fly off the bat of Brady Peterson. Sherrard 5, Rockridge 4.
All right, moving along to number three on the list, back to the boys basketball season. Another Sherrard Rockridge classic in 2024-25. This game was from January 24th of 2025, the return game in the series played at Rockridge High School. Sherrard entered at 18-2 and 5-0 on the track. West Rockridge came in at 15-6 and 4-1 in conference play. The Tigers trailed this game by 9 points at halftime and faced an 11-point deficit at 25-14 early in the third quarter. Then Sherrard junior Carter Brown would take over, scoring all of his 19 points in the second half to lead the Tigers to a comeback 40-39 win.
Spins in the paint, picks it up. Veranda, top of the key, over to Carter Brown. Has a window for three, and it's good for Carter Brown. His first bucket of the night. Big shot there. It's 25-17, 8-point game. I believe Veranda got away from him. He'll take a floater in the paint. No good. Rebound. Brown got underneath. Power dribble. Pump fake up with the left. It's good for Carter Brown. 5 straight points for him, and we're down to a 6-point game. Blackwell, long outlet pass. Brown makes the catch on the run. Goes up with the left and lays it in. Brown has 7 points in the third. Time out Rockridge. It's a 4-point game. A 7-0 run for the Tigers. Brown the other way. Reverse layup. He scoops it high off the glass and in. Carter Brown has scored 9 in a row for Sherrard. It's a 4-point game. 27-23. An acrobatic finish in traffic there. Blackwell takes it baseline. Bounce pass. Brown up in the paint. He lays it in. And the foul. It's a 2-point game. Carter Brown has scored every point, all 11, for Sherrard in the third, and he's got a chance for a 3-point play to make this a 1-point game. Blackwell kicks Brown, right wing three for the lead! He got it! Carter Brown has 15 points in the second half, and Sherrard has their first lead since the first quarter. 32-31, 6:15 to play. Tigers in front. Ball into Brown, right corner, guarded by Chase Wheatley. They isolate for him. Brown takes it baseline, backing his way in, pump fake up over both thud, and one for Carter Brown, who has taken this game over in the second half. The Tigers have their biggest lead up by three with 3:13 to play in the game.
I believe we described that as the Carter Brown explosion, and listening back to that, I mean, what in the world? I mean, I don't even have the words really to describe. I mean, that was one of the greatest, like, single player takeovers you'll ever see in a high school game. So Brown scores all 19 of his points that night to lead Sherrard back from an 11-point deficit to beat Rockridge by a point, 40-39. And the final possession in that game was just so wild. I think Rockridge got 3 looks at the basket. None of them would fall, though, and Sherrard would escape Edgington with a win in another classic game. And if you can believe this, the Sherrard students, they stormed the court again.
Out to Bull, makes the catch on the run with 10 seconds. Bull bowling his way in, puts that for the paint. He missed it. Ball's tipped up. It goes out to Wheatley. Step back. Jumper is no good. Another offensive rebound. Bull desperation. Shot is no good. The Sherrod Tigers have swept the Rock Ridge Rockets as the Tiger students for the second time this year storm onto the floor. The final score, Sherrod 40, Rock Ridge 39.
Oh man, I miss basketball, man. What a fun year that was. And those two Rock Ridge Sherrod games, just classics. And I don't think we're quite done with Sherrod Tiger basketball on this list yet, but we need to move to the number two spot, which again is another Sherrod Rock Ridge game. This time a softball battle for a regional championship from last Friday, May the 23rd of 2025, the date here. Earlier on this list, we spoke about Sherrod snapping a long losing streak in boys basketball to Rock Ridge. I think it was at 13 games. That pales in comparison to what the softball streak was. It was 24 losses in a row for Sherrod to Rock Ridge in softball coming into the regional championship game in Farmington last Friday. Just another really memorable, terrific game between these two teams where they played 2 1-run games in the regular season, both won by Rock Ridge 6-5, one of them via a walk-off in Edgington, and the game that was hosted by Sherrod was ended on a diving catch by Rock Ridge second baseman Stella Riley. This game was tied at 1-7 innings. Rock Ridge stranded the bases loaded in the bottom of the seventh with a chance to walk it off. Sherrod would load the bases with one out in the top of the eighth, and sophomore center fielder Kaylee Fascio delivered what became the game-winning RBI on a sacrifice fly to left field.
Pitch. Fascio swings, hits it to left field, tailing foul. It is caught on the dive. Here comes Dormeyer tagging the plate, and the Tigers take the lead on a sacrifice fly by Kaylee Fascio, 2-1 in the top of the eighth.
And in the bottom of the eighth inning, Rock Ridge trying to preserve a streak of 9 straight regional championships and get it to 10 seasons in a row of the regional title. Got the tying run to second base with 2 outs, but the Tigers able to deny the rally as Savannah Hogger gets the final out of the game to get Sherrod to the sectional.
Hogger to Hofer, 2-1 pitch, swung on, popped up. This is playable in foul territory. It's caught by Savannah Hogger, and the Tigers win it. Sherrod this time beats Rock Ridge and finishes the job. The Tigers, regional champions in 2025. The final score in 8 innings, Sherrod 2, Rock Ridge 1.
I mean, what a great game that was. Just so well played by both teams. That was the first softball regional title for Sherrod since 2016 with that win last Friday. Okay, now to number one on our list, and I think everybody probably knows what this is about to be. I think probably one of the greatest games ever broadcast on WRMJ in 45 years of covering local sports. Of course, I've not been around for nearly all of that time, but just the whole atmosphere of Sherrod's 65-63 overtime win over Tri-Valley in the 2A boys basketball sectional, which Sherrod was hosting. The Tigers had to rally in the fourth quarter to send the game to overtime, 53-53 at the end of regulation. Sherrod actually faced a 6-point deficit with a minute 21 seconds left in overtime and ended the game on a 9-1 run. Here's how Sherrod got it to be tied heading into the final possession.
Some help down 6, 62-56, 1:20 to play in overtime. Carton takes the screen, gets to the basket, up through some contact, no whistle. He lays it in, 62-58 with 1:11 to play in overtime. Schmidgall in the backcourt. Whistle, and it's a 5-second violation as they took forever to get to the ball. So right there, Sherrod forces the turnover. The ball will go back to the Tigers. Blackwell, right corner, has it. Jabs right, takes it at Stombaugh. Jumps to pass to Veranda. Pump fakes, frees himself up for 3, in and out. But Blackwell tips it up and in on the athletic follow, 62-60. 63-60, ball into Cardinal, bring it across the center stripe. Tigers will not call the timeout as Carton drives to the basket. Bump, no whistle, out to Blackwell, left corner. Now Carton with it, left wing. guarded by Steinbaugh, takes it around him to the cup, lays it in, and he draws the foul! 63-62, a chance for Carton to tie it up if he can complete the three-point play.
And of course, you know that Ryland Carton completed the three-point play there to tie the game at 63. Tri-Valley would come down the floor and throw the ball away out of bounds to turn it over and give it back to the Tigers. 63-63 the score in overtime. Sherrard ball as Ryland Carton brought it down the floor, and I think you probably remember what happened next.
Ryland Carton. Sherrard is in the bonus as he walks it across the center stripe. He's guarded by Steinbaugh, who's playing with four fouls. 8 seconds to go. Carton takes the ball screen, drives it on Jensen, steps back. Carton to send the Tigers to the Sweet 16. It's good. Sherrard wins. Ryland Carton in a memorable season. The most memorable moment of them all. Ryland Carton sends the Tigers to the Sweet 16. An incredible rally. Sherrard wins 65-63. The Tiger students storm the floor. See you Friday night.
March 5th, 2025, the date of the number one favorite broadcast for me of the 2024-25 school year. Sherrard over Tri-Valley, 65-63. Ryland Carton scored 33 points that night, including, as you just heard, the game winner to send Sherrard to the Sweet 16 in boys basketball for the first time in 29 years and give the Tigers a 30th win in boys basketball for the first time in a single season in school history as well. That was a fun, fun winter and a fun, fun school year covering local high school sports on WRMJ again here in 2024-25. Okay, we will take one final break on Sportsline this year. Come back and wrap it up after this on WRMJ.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Now at 6140 Run, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka. Lightweight, responsive, made to move. What max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 6140 Run. Now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
All right, winding down Sportsline on a Saturday morning inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo for the 2024-25 school year. Our 42nd and final Sportsline of the 2024-25 school year. 134 high school sports broadcasts from the fall through the winter through the spring in 2024-25 as well. But really, just appreciate everybody tuning in to Sportsline all school year long. We kind of talk about it off the top of the show each year, but we've been doing this show on this radio station since 1979. I use the term we kind of loosely. I wasn't around in 1979. There have been basically now three people who have been in charge of this program. John Hoscheid at first, Jim Taylor then for basically 35 years, and now me. I don't know if I quite belong in the same category or echelon as them. Jim Taylor, John Hoshite, both legends, not only at this local radio station in Alito, Illinois, but as just statewide broadcasters and people who have been, you know, champions of covering local high school sports. I owe a lot to both of them. I think professionally it's pretty fair and easy to say that. So I just hope in doing this show that I am doing the program that they started justice. So with that, as I mentioned earlier and said already, I really appreciate everybody who continues to tune in and support this program week in and week out. Also, a special thank you to our four sponsors. You know, our title sponsor all year long, Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. We broadcast Sportsline from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios all school year long. So if you ever need some sort of auction or auctioneer service, you know that Dale Jones with Merit Auctions is the person that you want to go to. Our other sponsors of this program all year long include Diamond Ag locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville. Any sort of agricultural service, Diamond Ag, they're the people for you. 6140 Run in Galesburg, if you need running shoes, walking shoes, work boots, that's the place you want to go. 6140 Run in Galesburg. And local Country Financial Aid's and Jason Potter in Alito, Tracy Bigham in Alito as well, and then Brent Bigham in Edgington. If you need insurance, everybody needs insurance, right? Those are the three people you want to go to. All have been great sponsors of this program all school year long, and for multiple years, I think year in and year out, you hear basically the same group of people sponsoring this show. We appreciate them. They're the reason we're able to do this. If you enjoy this show, I ask you, if you don't do business with them, at least thank them for being a part of the reason, really the reason we're able to do the show week in and week out, year after year for now 45 years. Our next Sportsline program will come your way in just a few short months on Saturday, August the 23rd. Is our next sports line as we will start to get you set with the high school football preview for the 2025 season. That is just around the corner. It'll be here before you know it. Our next high school sports broadcast coming up on Friday, April 29th in week one in 2025. It's Montrose-Ville at Mercer County, Sherrard at Rock Ridge, and Orion at home against Hall. So again, all of that coming up. It'll be here a lot sooner than it feels. August 23rd, our next sports line. August 29th, our next high school sports broadcast. It's been a fun 2024-25. Always the saddest part of the year for me is taking all of our broadcast equipment from up in our hallway here at the WRMJ studios in Alito and walking it downstairs into the basement to hibernate for 3 months. I did that earlier in the week. I'll be excited to get that stuff back out here in early to mid-August to get set to begin our 2025-26 high school sports coverage. Thanks so much for tuning in and supporting all school year long. Really appreciate it. Obviously, a large team of people put this together here at WRMJ. It's not just me. I know people sometimes think that, and that is definitely not the case. So the whole team here, thanks to all of my coworkers, all do such great work helping me be able to try to organize the, the craziness that is putting together 134 play-by-play broadcasts and 42 weekly Sportsline shows on Saturday morning. It's definitely not a one-man show, that's for sure. All right, Ty Taylor inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, wrapping up Sportsline for 2024-25. Thanks so much for tuning in all school year long, and this has been Sportsline on WRMJ.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville. Your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business by 6140 Running Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots, and by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.